from a certain village. So if you find some villageness in me, bear with me for a while. Will you? Yes. I bring greetings from my family. I'm married. My wife and my kids sent me with greetings. They could not be able to come. And I hope you receive them. I also bring greetings from one of your friends. He told me to bring very, very warm greetings to you, Reverend Dr. Mongereria. You receive them. He is one of my parishioners when he retired. Thank you. He told me to bring very, very warm greetings. And he is one of my parishioners and, of course, my father when I'm back there in Choka. Having said all that, let's pray so that you may hear the word of God. Father, we thank you this morning as we share from your word. I pray that, Lord, you are going to open up our minds and our souls so that you may hear the voice of your Holy Spirit. This morning, I pray that you may use me as you will for the honor and for the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. This morning, I want to share with you words and a sermon entitled Keep Growing. The purpose of it is because I know that this is your theme, and I want to believe that there is a reason why this one has been done. And I want to share this by starting with a small illustration that may make some bit of sense to you because you live in this town. In 2011, in one of our national newspapers, it ran a competition, and the winners were promised that they are going to get brand new houses. And the tagline for that competition was Utahamalini. Sounds familiar? You know what I'm talking about? So I want you to watch something so that I can continue after that. Anyone who ever watched that? I know that there were many others. That's enough. We can move to the next slide. And I want to base what I want to talk about today on that. And I want to start by asking a question about ourselves. Do you think that at times we are like that overgrown son? Because I can say he is an overgrown son who has refused to move from the house. Does it sound familiar? It does. I know. Even some of us may share that story more intimately than that. And I know that we may also point fingers at others. You know, we are good at pointing fingers and say, oh, that's so son. But as I reflected on it, I thought that we like this fictional overgrown son. Sometimes we refuse to grow. Sometimes we refuse to move spiritually, to grow from the point where we started. And maybe that's why we have this theme that has been given. Keep growing up. Keep growing up. It's a very, very powerful theme because it does two things. One, it presupposes that there is some movement about you. It does not think that you've been doing nothing, but on the other hand, it assumes there is some things that you have not yet achieved. And so it invites you to continue growing. It invites you to becoming a better person, a better Christian. And therefore this morning, I want us to discuss about keeping growing. Now to take us there, I have chosen that we share from the words of Isaiah, to look at how God has given given us so much. He has given, or he has done a lot of work on us, and he expects us to grow up. And to do that is a song that we have read that someone sings, talking about a vineyard. And a number of things are done on that vineyard. In fact, I have, when I was checking, I saw six things. The first one is in fact to later on in that scripture, but it's that vineyard was fenced. It means that it had to be brought together. It was fenced. Someone fenced it. A wall was put around it. Number two is that farmer dug it up. You know, it was fallow ground and he dug it up. And then after he did that, he realized that there were so many debris, stones, and he removed them. He cleaned them. He cleared them so that it could be ready for planting. Then he planted his choicest and finest vines. After that, he built a watchtower in the middle of the land to watch over the land so that there will be no birds, no thieves, no anything to destroy the crop. Then, number six, he dug a wine press. This was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. You know, he said, because I've done all what I need to do, I know there will be some change. Then, we are told that he waited. He waited for some produce. He came back at a season when he was supposed to come to check what has been happening to his vineyard. But when he came, it is very sad that though he was looking for a harvest of choice grapes, maybe to make the best of wine, he came and found that the grapes that were in that garden, they were sour. NIV says they were bad. King James Version says they were sour. But I believe that they were not fit for any work as he had envisioned. And you know, this farmer was a bit, not, he was very frustrated. And therefore he comes to this land and he is very angry and he decides to take it to court. Interesting, isn't it? Imagine a piece of land being taken to court and he is having a conversation with some judge or some elders or some people and he says, "You men of Jerusalem, look at the work that I've done. Look at the way I did this to this land. And when I came, I could only find that this land could only produce whatever it has. So tell me, what am I going to do to this land? What am I going to do to it?" And then finally, he said that he's going to destroy it. You know, it is easy to think about it, you know, out there and say, wow, people there are having trouble. But don't you think that sometimes God does the same for us? He blesses us so much. Pause to think. If you are the owner of that land, what would you have done? Probably. But then, doesn't God come and see us that like that shamba, if I may use that? And doesn't he come and find us? Don't we disappoint him at times? Doesn't he come to look for justice and righteousness in us? And he finds people who are full of themselves. Doesn't he, like this son, like the mother? You know, I see God like a mother here. I know that God transcends gender. But God here is like the mother, and he has done all the work for this son, for this man here, for me, for you. And then he comes and he has found nothing. Now, this woman is very disappointed because this man has refused to grow. But, you know, like him, sometimes you may become comfortable. You are in a comfort zone. You pray ilea chai in the morning. God bless our tea. In Jesus' name, amen. You're comfortable. We say we are going to have this mission or that mission, and we need people to contribute, and you give only what you can, never going beyond. You know, you are there where you started. That, like this son, we may grow old, but never grow up. Don't you think it is possible? Talk to me. You know, in the village, you talk to the pastor. The pastor should be answered. Hallelujah. Don't you think sometimes God finds us like that? We have talents, we have abilities, and we hide them. And we are there dancing to that music. And we are there and we are even telling God, why didn't you even knock when you're coming into my room? You know, you don't want people to push you beyond your comfort zone. Even when the elder asks you or something, and you tell him, no, I don't want to do this. But God tells us that he expects fruits to come from us. This morning, I do not want to take much of your time, but I want to tell you this. In the book of Hebrew, chapter number 5, verses 11 to 14, the writer of Hebrew accuses the listeners and maybe us, and he tells them three things. He tells them that they are slow to learn. In fact, King James Version says they are dull to learn. And then number two, he tells them that though by that time they were supposed to be teachers, they were still waiting for others to teach them. And they had refused to mature and would have rather continued enjoying the milk. You know, milk is soft, it's sweet, it's nutritious. I'm told by my aunt, who is a very serious nutritionist, is that what they are called? That she is very strict with the way she eats. I'm a bit liberal. If it moves, it's sweet, it can be eaten. But for her, she has to be sure it is the right food. She tells me that babies are supposed to be suckled for the first 6 months because milk is very nutritious. But at times as Christians, we want to stay with the milk. We want to stay there. But this morning, I want to challenge us. As I finish, I want to challenge us with the words that are taken from your theme. And the challenge that I have for us is this. Are you willing to grow? When we say keep growing up, does it apply to you? Paul to the Ephesians, he says that Christ is the head of the church, and we are supposed to grow to him, all of us. That all of us, not some of us, we went to a college when I was studying. It was a mixed college. You know, the universities, you don't only have theological universities these days. And the other faculties were telling us, you people are the ones who are called. Sisia tujaitwa. But he told them, are you Christians? Yes, if you are Christian, all of us have been called. And therefore the call today is this. Paul says, we must, as a matter of necessity, grow up in Christ in all things. We must grow up in all knowledge. Let us know Christ properly for ourselves. Let us not be like the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, who are saying, we have come to cast you demons in the name of Jesus. That which Paul preaches, and the demon properly identified themselves, they said, we know Paul. We know Jesus. Who are you? We must grow in the full knowledge of Christ for ourselves. Let us not say we come from a big church, a beautiful church, and it is. But I say, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Let us grow in love. Let us love other people. Let us grow in faith. Let us grow in full dependence on God. And number two is that we must grow to maturity. Not only are we going to grow old, but grow into maturity. So that all of us in our families, when you are working as a man, you are the priest in your house, you have grown to maturity. There were times you could not pray for your children. This day you lay hands on your children as the father and you bless them because you have grown into maturity. As a mother, you can pray for your children wherever they are. You can be a member of this church fully. You can become a member of the various groups that we have. But you know, it is easy to be seen, to come, to disappear in the crowd. But this morning, I pray that you may grow into maturity. And then number three, and this is going to be the sermon for the next service as I preach, is that we must bear fruit. Bear fruit. We must bear fruit. Because if we don't bear fruit, then we live for no purpose. And the fruit that we are to bear is a fruit that is pleasing to God. As John says in the book of John chapter 15. This morning I pray. I pray and I beseech each one of us to evaluate themselves. And you see where you are like Junior. By the way, the name of that fictional guy is Junior. Just for the information. And I am using the word fictional because I believe he's an actor. He doesn't do like that in his own real life. Maybe he's a member of this church. I'm being very careful. Like, we check like Junior. Where are we? Where was I 10 years ago? Was I able to pray, to attend all prayer sessions? Was I able to give my tithe faithfully? Was I able to preach to others and show them love? Was I able to serve justice? And where am I today? Because it is possible for you to be where you were, to stagnate. You are a member of this church. What have you done that is extra other than taking Holy Communion? Hallelujah. You know, Presbyterians, and I'm a very firm Presbyterian. I don't know about here, but in the village, they are very proud when they bring me their Holy Communion cards. And I see the way it has been signed. Let me tell you, I signed another card the other day. It was the third card. And the old man was telling me, Mchungaji, I have taken this thing. Seriously. I was asking him, and then, what else have you done? Ask yourself this question. How else are you growing? Which are the areas that you need to improve? Because it cannot be business as usual. When I look at the list there, in stewardship, in love, in there are so many areas. This morning I want to ask you that God may see you, that God may search you, that He may be irritated with you, or you may go before He gets irritated with you. Don't wait to be God to be Mama Junior on you, because sometimes He becomes Mama Junior on us. You know the way he waits. You're not born again. You've been coming to this church for the last 30 years. I don't know. You're not born again. And you are asked and you say, one day. You've been coming to this church. You've been a Christian for many years. And you're there. What are the areas that you need to grow? When the writer of the book of Isaiah, the one who is writing the poem, he records the anger of the farmer. It is not a pleasant reading, because like Mama Junior, God comes to check on us. Hallelujah. He comes to check on us time after time. And when He found that there was nothing, He said, this is what I'm going to do. The book of Isaiah, He says, I'll take away its hedge. I'll destroy it. I'll break down its walls. It will be trampled on. It will be a wasteland. It will not be pruned or cultivated. Briars and thorns will grow there. And finally, this is very painful. He says, I will command the clouds not to rain on it.
May God forbid.
May God forbid this morning that it may come to you after he had invested in you. You know, we live in a very privileged society, though we don't see it. The word of God is freely available to us. We are not under dictatorship. We don't hide. We have businesses. We live in security. Make sure that we grow. Make sure that we grow. So this morning, my prayer is this, that when God comes to me, when he comes to you, he will not ask us,
umekuwa kwa hii kanisa miaka 38, utahama lini?
Or someone comes on the window, a stranger, looks inside St. Andrews, anakuuliza, utakuwa lini? Utahama lini?
May God give us strength to grow.
Amen? Will you grow? Will you desire to grow? May God give you his grace. May God see you through as you grow. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to pray with you. Even as you bow your head.